Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, June 4th. Happy Saturday and happy birthday to our custodian, Bertha Nolan. Bertha, thank you for all that you do for our church. You bless us richly and we give thanks to the Lord for who you are and for your work here at Mountain Brook Baptist. We are entering a new book today, the book of Numbers. So we've made our way through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and now on to Numbers. As usual, I want you to go over to the Bible Project website. They can say it so much better than I can. Some of the things I gleaned from the video on the book of Numbers are this. This is the fourth book of the Old Testament, and it is as they wrap up 1 year at the base of Mount Sinai and as they are headed into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. So the storyline of the book goes along with their travels. The first part of the book is at Mount Sinai. Then it talks about their travel into the wilderness of Paran. During this time in the book, spies are sent out to the promised land. And then the book ends on the plains of Moab. In the book of Numbers, these are wilderness stories that are retold again and again by prophets and the poets and even some of the apostles in the New Testament. And the wilderness wanderings or how the people of Israel go their own way, these are all warnings for us that while God remains faithful to his covenant promises, he will also allow people to walk away in rebellion and face the consequences. You might remember when the people of Israel send the spies into the promised land. What happens? They come back and 10 of the 12 say, no, we can't go in there. We're afraid. They do not believe in the deliverance of the Lord. And so the people who have gone into the wilderness, those who disbelieve God, will end their lives in the wilderness. And the end of this book is this new wilderness generation, those who were born in the wilderness, and they take another census. The book begins and ends with a census, and this new generation is poised on the precipice of this new land, this promised land, and we'll learn more about them at the end of the book. That's a little general wrap-up. Let's begin with Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. The Lord spoke to Moses in the tent of meeting in the desert of Sinai on the first day of the second month of the second year after the Israelites came out of Egypt. He said, "Take a census of the whole Israelite community by their clans and families, listing every man by name, one by one. You and Aaron are to count according to their divisions all the men in Israel who are 20 years old or more, and able to serve in the army. One man from each tribe, each of them the head of his family, is to help you. These are the names of the men who are to assist you. From Reuben, Elizur, son of Shedeur. From Simeon, Shelumiel, son of Zurishaddai. From Judah, Nashon, son of Amminadab. From Issachar, Nathanael, son of Zuar. From Zebulun, Eliab, son of Helon. From the sons of Joseph, from Ephraim, Elishama, son of Ammihud. From Manasseh, Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. From Benjamin, Abidan, son of Gideoni. From Dan, Ahizer, son of Amishadai. From Asher, Pagiel, son of Ochran. From Gad, Elisaph, son of Duel. From Naphtali, Ahara, son of Enon. These were the men appointed from the community, the leaders of their ancestral tribes. They were the heads of the clans of Israel. Moses and Aaron took these men whose names had been specified, and they called the whole community together on the first day of the second month. The people registered their ancestry by their clans and families. And the men 20 years old or more were listed by name, one by one, as the Lord commanded Moses. And so he counted them in the desert of Sinai. Now, tomorrow we're not going to read this part, but I wanted to let you know that there is a number listed for the amount of people, well, of men that were in the Israelite camps. The total number, according to verse 26, was 603,550. Let's move on now to the Psalms. Today we're reading Psalm 9. For the director of music, to the tune of The Death of a Son, a psalm of David. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. My enemies turn back. They stumble and perish before you. For you have upheld my right and my cause, sitting enthroned as the righteous judge. You have rebuked the nations and destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken my enemies. You have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing the praises of the Lord, enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what has been done. For he who avenges blood remembers, he who does not ignore the cries of the afflicted. Lord, see how my enemies persecute me? Have mercy and lift me up from the gates of death, that I may declare your praises in the gates of daughter Zion, and there rejoice in your salvation. The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his acts of justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands. The wicked go down to the realm of the dead, all the nations that forget God. But God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. Arise, Lord, do not let mortals triumph. Let the nations be judged in your presence. Strike them with terror, Lord. Let the nations know they are only mortal. In the New Testament, we read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The title says, Present Weakness and Resurrection Life. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, Let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. I want to go back to the psalm and praise some of the things that the psalmist reminded us about who God is. Will you pray with me? Wonderful are your deeds, O Lord. You rebuke the nations. You are merciful and you lift up those who are in need. You are a stronghold in times of trouble and a refuge for the oppressed. Your rule is right, and you judge with equity. God, I love this promise. You will never forget the needy. Help us, Lord, in this life to be on your team. Help us to be people who are merciful, who are trustworthy, who help others in times of trouble, who are a refuge. Help us, Lord, to never forget the needy. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.